are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
There are some people whose teenagers have been many times before. There are some that haven't been. And you're like, what do they actually do at camp? And so we've got a few photos that we're just going to show, and they're just going to run it in the background as I give you just a bit of an overview about what actually happens at summer camp, because we don't actually know how much information trickles down to parents after they come back, because I think a lot of people are quite tired. But anyway, this is what happens. We drive in a bus for like 3.5 hours, and when we get to camp, it's normally in the afternoon sometime, and we always start off by doing some games. We always do a whole lot of games, and I think this time when we arrived on the Friday, it started to actually pour and thunder and lightning strike, and so we actually canned the games because we didn't really want anything to happen that wouldn't be good for the rest of camp. And as you can see, our property, the property there is massive, and so there's just, it's just the best fun for all sorts of fun. And so this is the games that we do. And so we do games in the afternoon on the Saturday and the Sunday. They're always in like teams. And so there's tribal wars happening and teams battle it out. And no one dies or gets injured. But it does look like some pretty serious stuff happens. It's a lot of fun. And I can't remember which team won this year. What? Red team. Oh, okay. Not my team, but the red team won. And so we also, so apart from the games, which is what you're seeing right now, we also have a big part of our, highlights that a lot of people talk about is the food. And so we actually were really blessed with an amazing team that did an amazing job with food. And so we got some pretty awesome meals at camp, better than what a lot of people eat at home. And then we have some games that happen like in the meeting. Again, it looks sometimes a bit suspicious, but it's all legit and above board. Don't worry about that. And there you go. There's the lights that you can see that happen. And so this is where things start to get really hot in the meetings, because the lights go down and the dancing happens, and we Andy was celebrating his last camp with us by going a little bit crazy. And we always do warm-up exercises before worship. And the worship at camp is just amazing. It is so amazing. There is such freedom when it comes to just worshiping God and lifting His name up. And one of the highlights for me is actually standing at the back of the room and just watching people encounter and worship and just be so free before their God. And we had an amazing worship team and set-up team that did such a brilliant job at just making the place feel, just ushering the presence of God. It was just amazing. It really was incredible. And you'll hear a bit more of that a bit later on. And I might just let the photos continue, because no one's really listening to me. They're just all looking at the screens anyway. There we go. And so obviously we have meetings every night. And so we had a guest speaker. He was called Jesse, and he was just an amazing speaker. And so every meeting we had, it was just, it was powerful, and God was at every single meeting. And one of the things that we do regularly at camp is we have our meeting, and God does amazing things in people's lives, and we have prayer and all that sort of stuff. And then we often close the meeting, and we say to everyone, there's supper out in the dining hall, but if you don't want to have supper, just stay. And we leave the meeting room open for people to just sit and reflect and read their Bibles, pray. We had a cross set up in the back room, and people just gathered around the cross. And again, that's another highlight for me, is just sitting and watching people choose to stay behind, choose to like not eat supper and actually stay behind and just pray and chat and reflect and journal and sit at the cross. And so it is just such a blessing as a youth leader to be able to watch young people so genuinely hungry for God. And I fell in love with God, and I fell in love with our youth and our young adults. people because they're just awesome people. And parents, you have awesome teenagers. Young adults, you guys are awesome. And we are. It is such a blessing and a privilege to be able to witness people's milestone moments with God at camp. And so many milestone moments happen at camp. And so for me, the thing that I got out of camp was I just loved the pace. As in, it's crazy and it's full on and you're up till midnight. You don't get a lot of sleep. But you don't have to go anywhere. The whole not having to rush was just amazing. And I love just being able to just know that we didn't have to finish anytime soon. We could just continue being in His presence. We could just continue praying. We could just continue to see people enjoy God and not have to go home because we're at camp. And so for me, that's one of the best things. And so that's camp in a bit of a nutshell. And I hope that sort of gives you a bit of an insight about what happens at camp. But I'm actually going to pass on to our first testimony of the night, Anita. And she's going to... She's our first one. We're going to have a few more after that. And so why don't we give Anita, I'm not sure where she is. There she is. A hand as she comes up and shares. Thanks, Anita.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anita, obviously. So the thing that I really love the most about camp is that I always come back really, really confident about the year ahead. And this year was my third camp, and I've been so, like, more confident than I've ever been before about the year. So when the promo video for First Love first came out, I was a bit confused because I wasn't really sure what it meant. But it was on the first encounter night that it all came into clear view. And it was when I heard the song First Love that God told me that He'd really been listening to the prayers that I'd been praying over the past 2 years. Because when I first went to camp, I came back with two really, really intense desires. First, to learn to love God more. And secondly, that my friends would be saved. And so in one way or another over the years, I'd been asked God and pleaded with Him in the words of the song lyrics to set me on fire for Him, to see my friends reclaim their first love and to stop me from drifting away and to just prioritize His love over all. And I'd never wanted anything else so badly, and so I was really overwhelmed when I heard the song. Even though sometimes I give up praying and stuff, it was amazing how God had heard my prayers and had inadvertently put it in a song. And so naturally after this, I chose the Sharing Faith workshop the next day. And during the session, I realised I'd kind of been going about evangelism and stuff the wrong way. I tend to get a bit theological and technical and talking about God with my friends. I'm a bit nerdy at school. We debate about the big questions in life, and I've often had these conversations with teachers too in religion class. But the nicer and more peaceful approach that Andy spoke about during the workshop was using your testimony. And I unconsciously placed testimonies in like a box for conferences and like sermons and stuff. So it was really uplifting to hear the things everyone in the group had to say in a more casual setting. And from hearing everyone else's testimonies in the group, I realised that not only do testimonies reveal how good God is, but that it can also be really relatable and personal. And I realised some of the things that I used to struggle with are things that my friends struggle with now. So I know that my testimony can be the place to connect and to share with them. God's revealed to me that He doesn't just want my friends' brains, but He wants their hearts, which is what Jesus died for. So now I feel really equipped with a new tune to go into the year with and a new perspective on sharing the gospel. And even if my friends aren't saved in the next year or while I'm with them at school, I know that God's heard me and that He's going to do something amazing. And in the meantime, the song First Love helps me to focus on learning to love God more and more because of how He loves me. So, thank you.
So, when I read Anita's testimony, because she emailed it to me, I thought it would be really good to have her share that before we sing the song that she talked about and that actually our camp theme was based on, which is the song First Love. And so we're actually going to sing that, and I encourage you to stand, listen to the words. They're powerful, powerful words, and pray those words as a prayer because it's a really powerful song, and yeah, we hope you enjoy it, but we also hope that you sing it out as a prayer. So let's stand and enjoy that.
Check out the link in the podcast description to hear First Love by Hillsong Young and Free, or continue listening for more summer camp testimonies.
Well, my name is Liam, if any of you don't know who I am. So, yeah, let's get started. So, the reason that I wanted to share was that camp just felt really different for me. It was different than previous years. And this was because in previous years I'd had some like really, really crazy encounters, like things like tears pouring down my face, like a tidal wave of emotions just like slapping me across the face. And like, it's so cool and it's so much fun, but I didn't experience that this year. And I think it was mainly because I didn't really feel that I wanted to. And the reason for this was because recently I've been feeling like the same cycle happening in my life, like every year. So it'd be like one of those squiggly graphs where like it'd be at the top at like a youth camp or something, and I'd be like, oh yeah, this is awesome. I have this amazing like revelation. I'm like, oh, this is going to change my life. This is going to be so cool. And then it just go back down because I do nothing with it and I just go back to old ways. And then at the youth encounter night, like halfway through the year, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is awesome. I've repented. I'm all cool to start again. It's going to be a fresh start. So this is going to be awesome. And then went back down again. And it just kept happening year after year, just up and down. So the reason that this camp was different is because I came into this camp feeling really good, because previous camps I come in like off a really low point and ready to like start again. But this camp, I was kind of like, hey, my life's pretty good. I didn't really feel the need that I needed to change my life really drastically. Like, I was looking forward to this year and I had a really cool bunch of friends and it was going to be really awesome. Yeah. But throughout convincing myself that I was fine, I always felt like there was something missing, like a little something missing. But honestly, I really couldn't be bothered doing anything about it. And yeah, so there was always a little something in my heart searching for answers. In fact, I was so lazy that I managed to convince myself not to pursue God at all in like most of the sessions. But then eventually, the Holy Spirit did get the better of me. And so I decided to sit up the back one session, well, after one of the night sessions. And so I was up the back and it was just really dark and peaceful, and it was just like all the lights, and it just felt really good. And so I remembered then about how much I loved these kind of moments, like these kind of quiet moments where I just sit there and dwell in God's presence and have the quiet music and being able to just let everything go and just think. So whilst I was up the back, believe it or not, I found some answers. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't really done anything with these answers yet. But at the end of this, I have some very old notes that I found that will hopefully help with my tendency to going back to old ways and hopefully encourage you guys as well. So anyway, the first conclusion that I came to was that my idea of a good life was completely without God. All of my dreams and my thoughts and like my imagination of what I could do to make myself happy, none of it included God at all. And the second answer I found was that, I was doing this because I was treating moments like church, like moments with God, like youth and camp and that, and the rest of my life, like school, I was treating them as two completely separate things where I'd act different ways, I'd think differently, I'd go about things sort of differently. And so I realized that if I really wanted to live an awesome life, everything had to be combined together. I had to live the same life every day, no matter where I was. I realized that every day should be an encounter with God, and every day I should listen to him and follow him. There was a huge emphasis that I should make him a real and genuine part of my life, not someone I just like talk about during youth or like only someone I pray to, not someone who's like too far away that I can just ignore him sometimes. So when I got asked to give a testimony by Nick, I straight away thought no. Because I thought, what's the point in sharing this really uninteresting story with just subtle pointers on how to change my life when I'm probably just going to go back to old ways? But then I sat and I thought about it and I thought it would be a really good next step. I then consulted my notes from like 2 years ago, And I believe I found something that can be a really good source of motivation, not only for me, but to the rest of you, if you guys have the same problem of returning to old ways. So I found a couple little notes. So the first one said that no matter how many times we cycle back and forth, God will always be there to rescue us and will always be willing. And then a little while down the page, there were two things that I needed to do to get out of this cycle. And it was two questions. And it was, what must you boldly pursue? And what must you boldly leave behind? Thank you. And now we're going to have Cara come up to share hers.
Hi, everyone. Hi, my name's Cara. Hi. I'd love to share with you a little snippet of how amazing camp was for me this year and the awesome way that God moved and blessed us all over the course of the weekend. Camp has always been a highlight of the year for me ever since my first camp back in year 8. Just the love, happiness and pure bliss that radiates out through our youth is just so incredibly special. And I feel so blessed to be a part of such a supporting and nurturing environment that's frontline. Camp's atmosphere is always electric. God's movement is always so deep and rich, and you can't help but smile and glow with joy literally the entire camp. It's just the most joyous time. So leading up to camp, I was so excited to see God move and meet us all in that sacred place once again, and he did not disappoint. His presence was so strong, surrounding and embracing us all as we praised and worshipped his name. God revitalized and refreshed my faith on camp. Prior to, I was feeling sort of dry and uninspired in my relationship with God, just as life was full on, like starting year 12 at the end of the year and like learning to understand the stresses that's going to come with it this year. So absentmindedly, I had been putting my relationship with God not as a priority for a fair few months, and I hadn't really noticed this transition until I felt immersed again in God's presence on camp during our amazing worship. Our worship's so good there. When I was on lights up the back one night, I just found myself crying joyous tears and in a state of complete happiness and joy. It's so hard to describe. It's just a feeling where you just can't help but being with awe, adoration and gratefulness and love for our God and his great power and presence. It's just an awesome feeling that I'll forever cherish and like total at oneness and closeness and peace with God. So at camp, after the sessions conclude each night, the youth, as Nick said, are welcome to stay back and soak up the moment and delve into God's presence further. So I stayed back to seek him, and I continued to receive revelation after revelation from him. And in that moment, he said to me, it perfectly captured his impact in my heart over camp. He said, I'm flooding this atmosphere, beautifully, recklessly overwhelming it. Let me ignite the fire in your heart again, brighter and bolder than you could ever imagine. So in response, I prayed some lyrics out of a new Hillsong song, New Wine. And the lyrics go, I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. So I prayed this over and over again over my life, and I literally felt warm inside, burning with God's fire and spirit within me. So I had this phrase pop into my head as I was in the congregation of youth night about a year ago. Our hearts are beating in sync with God. On the last night, the Sunday night, God's presence was so thick and tangible in that room. And at Frontline, we have a random really cool thing that happens sometimes, similar to a flash mob. When we just finished an intense, fiery, passionate session of worship and praise, we all just start chanting.
Jesus!
Yeah. It's just over and over again, so loud, louder than that. even the drummer in the worship team kicks in and it's all just an awesome moment. And in that moment when we were chanting, that phrase popped into my head again. Our hearts are beating in sync and in sync with God. In these powerful moments where we chant our Saviour's name, we unite with a phenomenal burning passion and hunger for Christ, united to adore and glorify our King. That Sunday night, the joy in people's hearts and on people's faces while chanting Jesus' name was just unreal, just beyond words. And Romans 12:5 says, "So though we are a number of persons, we are one body in Christ and are dependent on one another. At Frontline, we're a family and we unite as one body for one sole purpose, to proclaim the glory of our King." So this year already, our friendships at youth have grown so incredibly much. We made memories and inside jokes and created such unique special bonds that I'll cherish forever. God is so good, and so this year I'm so keen and expecting to see Him do amazing, extraordinary things in our lives. And I pray that our hearts will remain in sync and in sync with God, and that the fire of God will continue to burn brighter and bolder in us, in our little Frontline family. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jarvis, if you didn't know. I've got a quick testimony tonight, but it's a good one. So my testimony started on the first session on the Friday night of camp. So when Jesse started calling people out in the audience and giving them words that God had given him, suddenly I felt this feeling over me, and I interpreted it as God telling me to pray to him, so I did. I prayed to him, and before camp, not going to lie, I had trust issues with God about what he had been planned for my life and my relationship with him. I sort of spoke to him and I said, "If you are listening and you're going to help me with these tasks and give more trust in you, then tomorrow get Jesse to call me out and give me a word from you." And so the next morning, I was all excited because I was also on that morning for worship for my first time. And and then afterwards, the worship, I'd remembered what I'd prayed last night, and I was like, "Come on, God, I trust in you right now." And Jesse came up on stage, and he started by saying he had some words for people, and I was like, "No way. This is actually going to happen right now." And then he goes, "Who was the little boy on the left that was just singing?" And I'm just like, "That's me." And then he spoke to me about my trust in God and how I had the miracle that the trust of the Israelites had when Moses was parting the Red Sea. It wasn't the miracle that God parted the Red Sea, because God can do anything, but the miracle was the trust that all the Israelites had in God that it would happen. And so camp, just all together, it just really opened my life to God and changed it completely. And I also can't wait to be on worship again. And yeah, so thanks for having me on stage.
Hello everyone, my name's Verity and I'm so excited to be here to talk about God and what He's done for me through camp this year. Honestly, there was so much good stuff that happened in camp, and I don't think there was any part of my life, any part of anyone's life that wasn't touched by God, even if they don't quite know it yet. A little bit of a backstory: I've been a Christian for around a year and a half now, and I've grown so much in my faith, but I'll admit I've also drifted, which is something I'm not proud of. Before I came to camp, I knew I loved God. I'd let Him into my heart, but lately I'd been really struggling to clear my mind and focus. There was even still parts of me that I was holding back on. The main issue was that I wasn't putting God first, and that just didn't work because God is the center of our lives, and pretending the center is anywhere but the center just doesn't work and throws everything off balance. Luckily, though, our God is a convenient one. I wanted to go to summer camp this year to reboot my faith, and the theme, as it so happened, was first love, which was exactly what I had forgotten. There were three things during the camp that God showed me and helped me understand. I want to talk about how these things linked into the theme and helped me understand what is meant by first love and to put God first in my life. The first thing God showed me was focus. I had been drifting, letting stray thoughts enter my head, opening the door for sin and greater getting lost in the darkness. but God threw me an anchor. Here's what happened. I was just sitting there during one of Jesse's talks where he was talking about Jesus walking on water. Now, I'd heard this story before, but I believe every time you hear or read a story of God, you see it in a different light, a light that God gives you. Because all of a sudden, I just got this image in my head of Jesus walking on the water with me in the place of Peter also walking in the water towards Jesus. Then I felt found, and I didn't even realize I was lost. From that moment on, whenever I felt like I was straying, I would imagine Jesus walking on the waters, and all my focus would go to him. The bad thoughts, the lies, the fear, it would all fall away beneath my feet because that's where it belongs, beneath me, not between me and Jesus. Nothing belongs between me and Jesus. But as soon as I say no to God or go on my own way, not only am I putting something between me and Jesus, I'm sinking. I'm sinking into a sea of darkness. But Jesus comes and pulls us out of those waters. He won't let us drown. This was the anchor God threw me so I could not drift, and even if the darkness threatened to pull me away, I know I could be saved. This is what that anchor represented. The second thing that happened to me through God using the new focus I found was acknowledging my calling. Now, from a young age, I've loved reading and writing. Now, even in the early days of my faith, I could feel God calling me to preach, even if I didn't quite know what that meant then. I would often have people telling me you'd make a good preacher or pastor. Then I got to do my first testimony. When I was writing my first testimony, I could just feel God flowing through me like he was electricity and I was the conductor. I wasn't worried or stressed. I just kept writing these beautiful, true things, and it was an amazing feeling. Then when I got up to speak, I was terrified. I was shaking, and in my head, I was just like, why did I do this? But I knew I couldn't turn back. I couldn't go backwards, so I had to go forwards. I started talking and the words just came out easily. God gave me strength, and by the end of it, I felt at peace because God told me he was pleased. However, at the time, I was so caught up with not putting God first that when I later felt God putting that calling on my heart stronger than ever before, I just said no. I was so worried about what other people would think that I denied it. I said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do things my way. What I think it's really easy to forget, though, is that our way isn't always the best way. God's way is. God knows what we want and what will benefit us and make us happy a lot better than we do ourselves. However, God had given me a newfound focus, and using that focus, I let go. I stopped holding myself back from God and gave him my all. I said, whatever you want, God, because I know that that's how it's meant to be. There is no better place than where you have so carefully placed me. And it is a place of importance, just like it is for everyone else. Because through God's eyes, there is no such thing as unimportant people. We all have a role in creating a better world. It was time for me to embrace mine. Because I listened to God when he said I was good enough, I was strong enough. It is what he says to us all, but it's our choice to listen. And as it so happened, further along in that camp, during one of our worship nights, Chris Blacker got up and said a few words about callings and gifts that God had put upon you. At that, I heard God say to me, Verity, you need to go to the preaching group. And I was just like, okay, well, we'll see what happens. So Chris was talking about different callings and then how if you felt God was calling you or giving you the gift of preaching to come up the front with Nick and Jesse. And in my head, I was just going, nope, I'm going to look weird. I'm not doing it. But God wasn't having any of that, and I just felt my legs moving forward to the group, and I saw God working through them, and I wasn't afraid of their judgment. This brings me to the third and final thing that happened to me. God removed my fear. Now, I'm not saying if I saw a spider on a wall somewhere, I wouldn't shriek and run far away. That would still very likely happen. I'm talking about a different kind of fear, one that wasn't meant to be there. For a long time, as long as I can remember, I've had this irrational fear of, well, people and being judged. In everything I did, I would have to check I wasn't the only one doing it. I would say things even when I wouldn't say things even when I felt I should. I was extremely shy and self-conscious, and it was not who I wanted and not who I felt I should be. I felt wrong and tainted, but it wasn't me that was wrong and tainted. It was this part of me that wasn't meant to be there, that was placed by the enemy. But God took that burden, that chain that had stopped me, confined me, that I let control me, and he broke it. He set me free. Here's the funny thing, though. I knew God had given me boldness, but it wasn't until halfway back from camp that I realized it. And it was like this light bulb moment where I was like, God's removed my fear, and I couldn't stop smiling inside and out. It was this great weight that had been lifted. Even now, over a week on from camp, and I'll just be doing something like homework or cleaning, and I'll just randomly say, I love Jesus. And my face will hurt so much from smiling, because I won't forget what happened and what God did for me. They are all miracles. I'm going to remember. I'm going to use my focus to keep me anchored. I'm going to use my new calling to keep me motivated, and I'm going to use my new boldness to draw strength from. And I'm going to keep moving forward in my faith. I know with all my heart I have security in God, now and forever. Because even if I used to be driven by fear, greed, lies, and all that is dark, in which case I only just got driven off the tracks, I'm not anymore. I'm driven by God's love, a force so powerful, it is never ending. It is the strongest. It is all things good. It is for everyone. It is filled with mercy. It is above all else, and it has gotten me so, so, so much further than any of that those dark things ever could. Even now, the enemy keeps trying to slip in and destroy the new me, saying things like, if you do this, someone's going to say this. And I used to believe it. I used to let it deter me from doing things that I knew I should have done. Not anymore, because I draw strength from God, from God's love, and he will give me an answer. I say in the face of the enemy, I know people with good hearts won't say that. And as for the people yet to feel God's love, I know I can trust that the Lord will help me share his word and love for those yet to feel it. That I can explain how I did it for the Lord's glory, because that was what the Lord asked me to do at that moment. And I knew I wouldn't regret it. I knew because I asked myself, has anything you've ever done for the glory of God been a regret? And I can answer with my full self, with all my heart, no, it has never and never will be a regret. The enemy may try and make me think it is, but it will never be. It will be a cherished moment. All of this has come together to put God first in my life again, where he belongs. It was what I was missing, why I was drifting, and why I was ignoring my gifting. It was exactly what I needed to give my faith that and that new energy and motivation, and I won't forget it. Thank you everyone for listening and being so supportive and encouraging.
So I guess you can gather from those testimonies that we had a pretty awesome time at camp, and I'm sure that there are many more testimonies that obviously we haven't heard. And so I would just love to firstly thank those that spoke, because it's a really brave and courageous thing to do, to get up here and actually stand and testify about some pretty personal stuff that goes on in our lives. But I also would love to just pray over our youth, pray over our young adults, and then we're going to finish with this First Love song. And I think, you know, for me, when I sing this song and when I listen to people talk and talk about the challenge it is, and when I think about my own life, to put God first, this song is such a powerful prayer that we can pray over our lives and over the year ahead. And I think that challenge and that reminder about putting our first love first is a really great one. And so why don't we stand and why don't you join with me in just covering camp in prayer and covering our youth and young adults as we start the year. So let's stand, let's pray, and then we're going to sing. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that we get to have times like camp, where we get to spend 4 days with you, with people that love you and worship you, and we get to have opportunity to hear from you and to have those moments in our life, life-changing, revelatory moments that can actually steer the direction and course of our life. And Father, I thank you for everyone that shared tonight. I thank you for Anita, for Liam, for Cara, for Jarvis and for Verity. Father, I thank you for their testimonies. Father, I pray you protect them, you keep them safe. Father God, for what they have shared, I just pray that you would help them to not only live out what they've spoken, Father God, but you would just surround them with people that encourage, cheer them on, Father God, and keep them accountable. And Father, for every person at camp, for those that came to know you for the first time, for those that did place their first love first again, Father, I pray that this would be a year that we see you truly take your rightful place as number one in all of our lives. And Father God, for the distractions and for the things that are going to come and try and take that place, we just pray, Father God, your protection, your blessing, and Father, that fire that did start at camp, Father God, would burn. It would continue to burn, Father God, through the hard times, through the good times, through the easy times, and Father God, through the times where we do start to feel a bit flat, that Father, we would just come before you yet again and know that you are right there, that you have never left, and that Father God, we would just continue to see you move and do a mighty work in our youth, in our young adults, and in our church. So Lord, we commit this year to you. We commit Frontline, we commit young adults to you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, because Father God, it is you that is doing this work in our lives, and we are so, so thankful and so, so honored to have a God that is so real in our lives. So Father, bless us, we pray, and let us seek this as a prayer, as a declaration, and as a proclamation of our faith this night. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.